Spiritual authority. Today's church, for some reason, is having a hard time learning how to submit to the spiritual authority that God has placed over them. Yet in frustration, they want to know why God is not moving today the way he did in the Bible. Until we submit to the plans and purposes of God and those whom he has called and sanctioned to lead us, we will never see the mighty hand of God as the apostles did in the New Testament. Jesus once said the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of the light. He made this statement after sharing how an unjust steward was called in question concerning his stewardship. The steward began to take measures among those under his stewardship to reduce their debts. He did this so that if he lost his job, he would have favor among those he helped. Jesus said when his Lord learned what he had done instead of firing him, he commended him for his wisdom. I believe in this 21st century we need to re-examine our purpose and means of handling God's affairs among ourselves and the world. The place to start is with the foundational structure and practices of spiritual leadership. For some strange reason when it comes to serving God there seems to be a disdain for structure and order among God's people, especially the leadership. We serve a God who created and established the entire world and all of creation. He did this with an order that has baffled the minds of some of the greatest thinkers to date. Yet many in the body of Christ want to propagate seeds of ignorance. We try to sell the line that true service to God should be free of the encumbrances of structure and order to be more in sync with God. To begin, we must understand the purpose for which the church was created. The word church means the called out. We as people who have been saved are the called out, the chosen of the Lord. The called out come together in a collective gathering at an appointed time and place. Here we put the name church as the name where the called out gather. In reality, we individuals who are saved are the called out, the church. The New Testament church is revealed as the body of Christ, composed of all nations of people who are saved. The word congregation means convocation or assembly. In Numbers 10:7, the congregation was gathered by the trumpets as a summons. Israel was called together out of their tents and homes to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That was the church, the assembly. Now in this place of gathering, God has chosen to place his name, his presence, his spirit to bless, heal, give insight, and give salvation. Here God has chosen to meet his people collectively. In your private time with him, he will meet you through prayer, his word, and through praise and worship. As the congregation assembles, he meets us together as a governor, the shepherd, or leader, commonly known as the pastor. Spiritual authority is the subjection of individuals to the power and rulership of the church. Thus, authority is the power to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. In the church, spiritual authority is set up accordingly. In this 21st century we need to re-examine our purpose and means of handling God's affairs among ourselves and the world. The place to start is with the foundational structure and practices of spiritual leadership. Jesus taught structure and order. His disciples were the first to receive instructions from him concerning the orders and procedures of God. He taught them how to live and operate God's way. He then taught them how to implement the order necessary for others to share in the benefits of God's miracles. He finally commanded them to go into the entire world and teach others how to observe all that he had commanded them. Jesus came to redeem the entire man, body, soul, and spirit. That redemption has order and structure, and that order and structure starts with leadership. Jesus chose his leadership as his first step toward the redemption of mankind. He finished his physical part of redemption and transferred the final works to his leadership. Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Those gifts are men and women chosen of God to operate and implement order and structure among themselves and the body of Christ. The ultimate goal is the perfecting of the saints. How long? Until we all come into the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God. We must learn how to behave ourselves in the body of Christ from the head down. We can begin with God's blueprint for spiritual protocol, Understanding Your Bible, which is a detailed six-part spiritual commentary. This six-part spiritual commentary assists all leaders, spiritual and secular, and every Christian in the understanding and fulfillment of their spiritual purpose and destiny in God. The first part is on the book Understanding Your Bible. Among other things, it talks about what the Bible is not, what the Bible is, what is inspiration, what is revelation, and rules of interpretation of Scripture. The book Understanding Your Bible quotes the Bible as saying in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." My understanding of other readings on this is: this scripture came out of a time when they were building the temple at the construction site. The stones were all hewn, squared, and numbered at the quarries where they were raised. This can be found in the 1 Kings account of the construction of King Solomon's temple. 1 Kings 6:7 reads, "In building the temple, only blocks dressed at the quarry were used, and no hammer, chisel or any other iron tool was heard at the temple site while it was being built." While transporting these huge boulders from the quarry to the building site, men were actually dying when these boulders rolled back on them. If the mason's measurements were wrong, and it was necessary to transport another boulder, then this was an unnecessary sacrifice for doing God's work. To this end, the first time the error occurred, the mason's head was shaved and his beard was cut. The second time he was killed. The point was that people's lives were dependent on the accuracy of the mason. We could say that people's lives are now dependent on the accuracy of the preacher or teacher. This speaks to my need for accuracy of what have and am about to say. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18-19, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This statement about the gates of hell not prevailing against us shows that the church is supposed to be on the offensive, not the defensive, in our spiritual warfare. We shouldn't be just trying to hold out behind our own defenses until Jesus comes to rescue us, but we should be pressing the battle to the very gates of hell itself. The devil and his imps should be in retreat and hiding behind their walls, not the church. Two different Greek words are used for Peter and rock respectively in this verse. The word used for Peter means rock but signifies a detached stone or boulder. In contrast, the word translated foundation rock signifies a massive rock, that certainly refers to Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Some have suggested that the foundation rock referred to was this confession that Peter made that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Matthew 16:16. Although it is true that people do have to confess Jesus is Lord to enter God's kingdom, in light of the Old Testament prophecies and anti-references to Jesus being the chief cornerstone, this passage of Scripture must be referring directly to Jesus as this rock upon which he would build his church. In Matthew 16:19, the word that is used for bind is the same Greek word that Jesus used when he spoke of binding the strong man, or controlling demon, and spoiling his goods. This binding, then, is actually speaking of spiritual warfare. This binding and loosing being referred to in this verse refers to our authority to bind demonic powers operating against our brothers or sisters, or remit their sins as in John 20:23, and we also have authority to loose those same powers in their lives, retain, John 20:23. This is for the purpose of causing repentance and restoration. This discipline is twofold. It consists first of withdrawing fellowship and second of withdrawing our intercession on others' behalf. This second part of discipline actually goes beyond us no longer binding the demonic forces opposing those people. It actually includes us loosing them from our intercession and delivering them unto Satan for the destruction of their flesh. This is the binding and loosing being referred to in this verse. If those in rebellion will not respond to the steps Jesus laid out in Matthew 18:15-17, we the church, are to discipline them by not fellowshipping with them, and by no longer binding the results of their sins that would normally come through the law of sowing and reaping. We are actually to retain their sins unto them, This is the same as delivering them over to Satan, 1 Corinthians 5:5 and 1 Timothy 1:19-20. That simply means we lose Satan to give them as their sins deserve in hopes that they will realize how deadly their sins are and will repent before Satan destroys them. Proper intercession can actually keep Satan at bay, although people are living in great sin. This is good if they use this freedom to repent and come back to God. But if they take this freedom to commit more sin, then comes a time when this form of intercession ceases to be beneficial. In that case, intercession against Satan's attacks should be withdrawn, and we should actually retain those people's sins unto them so that they can no longer get by without experiencing the death that sin brings. As they start reaping what they have sown, it will hopefully cause them to turn back to the goodness of God that they once enjoyed. This is a very severe thing to do and should not be done lightly. That was why Jesus instructed us to employ these other three steps in Matthew 18:15-17 first. This also should be done as a church body, thus preventing one person from trying to use binding and loosing as a form of vengeance on another member of the body. However, as Matthew 18:19 states, any two believers employing the principle of binding and loosing can do it, for according to Matthew 18:20, two believers gathered in Jesus' name constitute a gathering of the church, and a special anointing of the Lord is present. There are also other ways of applying these verses. One of the tragic applications is that any time two or three believers are gathered together and fall into gossip or criticism, the same spiritual laws begin to work, many times in reverse order from what God intended. We can actually bind up the positive results of sowing and reaping in godly people and loose the attacks of Satan against them by the words we speak. Also, if we fail to lift up our brothers and sisters in intercession, we are, in effect, turning them over to Satan through our neglect. These verses reveal that heaven and earth are affected by our binding and loosing. A key here symbolizes authority or power. Whoever has the key has the authority to open or close whatever is locked. Likewise, Jesus gave us the authority to bind demonic powers and loose people from their dominion, or Jesus gave us the authority to apply church discipline. Matthew 16:19 is an example of Jesus passing his authority to the collection of individuals known as the church. A further example of the church's authority is given in Ephesians 4:11-13, which says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Again, this is an authority for leadership in the church. In another sense, Jesus talked about the authority of individuals within the church in Mark 16:17-18, where Jesus says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe: in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Other biblical examples of spiritual authority are Ephesians 5:25, "Wives, submit to your husband." Ephesians 6:9, "Christ loves the church." Matthew 8:5-9, "Centurion soldier." Romans 13:1, "Every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Matthew 10:24-25, "The type of leadership you give will show up through who you lead." Sources: The Scripture. Class Notes. Disciple Evangelism, Andrew Womack. Andrew Womack's book, Believer's Authority.